Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835. Your voice on the Voice of Liberty. This is the Voice of Liberty. I'm Dave. This is Monday Night Hour of Truth on Missouri Grassroots Radio. How about this guy right here?
What about in the case of rape? Should it be legal or not? It seems to me, first of all, from what I understand from doctors, that's really rare. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. But let's assume that maybe that didn't work or something. You know, I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be in the rapist and not attacking the child.
1 second, we're going to go to our busy phones already. This is Dave. Who's this?
This is Dave Plemons.
It's Dave Plemons. He's our guest for tonight. Dave is here. He is the chairman of the PAC for Missouri Right to Life. Dave and I talked on the phone the other night. Thursday night, I did a rant, a one-hour rant, given the absence of our scheduled guest, Representative Tom Long, from the Republic area in Missouri, District 130, I think, Dave?
Yes, correct.
130. There was a assertion, both those things, that Representative Long was defeated, and that part of the reason for that defeat was his loss of the endorsement of Missouri Right to Life. The congressman did, or representative did make it clear that he had voted against an amendment that was favored by Missouri Right to Life. The representative says that his legal people told him the amendment was not constitutional, and that's why he voted against it. Missouri Right to Life, I believe the word that was actually used was targeted, Representative Long, and Dave will correct me if I'm wrong, for defeat by Jeff
Messenger,
exactly right. And Representative Long was, in fact, defeated. We had a long rant, and that wasn't really the crux of the rant. The crux of the rant was the danger, the pitfalls of one-issue voting by people like us, and what that can cause. And my intimation, even though I didn't mean it to be, was that Representative Long was otherwise a good guy, conservative in every way. And quite frankly, he's not my representative, and I couldn't tell you one way or the other if on everything else that we grassroots conservatives care about, this is a great guy. I'm sure Dave can. He's your representative, isn't he, Dave?
That's correct.
So Dave Plemons is here with us. He called me on Thursday night and said, hey, I'd like to talk about that for a little while. And I said, by all means, please come on Monday and let's talk about this. And so I invited Dave to come along a little earlier than normally I would have a guest to see if he wanted to weigh in on the Todd Akin thing. And Dave, I'm betting 2-1 odds that by noon tomorrow Todd's gone.
Well, you know, if that's his decision, he's the only one that can make that determination as of now. Missouri Right to Life PAC does, in fact, stand behind Todd Akin's candidacy We have not withdrawn our endorsement by any means, and it's unfortunate the occurrences that have happened at this point. And he's perfectly able to speak for himself, so I'm not going to try to put words in his mouth as what he meant, what he didn't mean. But I have every confidence that, given his experience and his record, that Todd Akin not only supports proper punishment for those who would exert sexual assault on women, but he also has the utmost respect for human life, in that he believes that, as we do, that no child should be subject to punishment based on the circumstances surrounding their conception.
Okay, and I would not expect you to back down from your endorsement of him. This has nothing to do with whether Todd Akin is a strong right-to-lifer. Now, listeners, I'm going to do something here that I seldom do. I'm going to kind of give you an insight into the relationship between Dave and I. It's a relationship that we've only had for a weekend, but all of my listeners, all of my listeners, Dave, know that you and I digress on the base issue here. So
sure.
I want them to know that you and I have discussed that point, and that I'm not here to argue with you. I want to hear about Missouri Right to Life. I want to hear about how you choose candidates. I'm not a one-issue voter. I was supporting Todd Akin. I don't not support anyone because they're right to lifers. And so you tell me and these listeners how Missouri. Now you're the chairman of the PAC. Did I get that right?
Correct.
Okay, so you tell us how the PAC gets together and decides this is the guy we're going to endorse and this is the guy we're not going to endorse.
Sure, and let me add, given your intro there, a lot of us in the pro-life movement, even though we would probably consider ourselves pro-life voters first and foremost, we are, of course, as citizens concerned, you know, on an array of issues and concerned about many things that come before us when it comes to candidate positions. We believe in first freedoms, and the first freedom that we believe in is the first one listed in the preamble to the Constitution, which is life. So having said that, let me explain kind of how we do what we do. Every election cycle, actually, previous to the election cycle, we do lots of research. Much of the research that we do centers around the funding that is given by the political action committees that support human cloning, support abortion, whatever the case may be, things that are antithetical to our goals. Then, as we collect this research, we start getting into the time frame where there are candidate filings for various offices in the state. This happens generally February to March, the end of February to the end of March. And during that period, we start watching the filings, and we can kind of see what's going on as far as a lot of the names that are being added to the ballot. And we start to research those candidates. My main responsibility as the PAC chairman largely is candidate research. A lot of what I do is centered around that. So we start preparing, we start looking at candidate records, we start looking at voting records, we start looking at public statements. But one of the most important things that we do is we send out a candidate survey to all of the candidates that are, I will admit, you know, right here to you that largely a lot of times the major parties are the ones who get most of the candidate surveys. Sometimes the third parties, if there is a strong area that's Republican or Democrat, that's not necessarily an independent area, we largely focus on the Republican and the Democrat candidates and not the third parties.
Right.
Just full disclosure there.
But
go ahead.
Quickly, you are bipartisan. I mean, you would put no, if a guy or a woman is pro-life, you would put no weight on the fact that they are a Republican or a Democrat.
Correct. That is correct.
Okay.
With our criteria, that is the case. So,
okay.
So we prepare this survey. It's got 13 or 14 questions on it. We send it out to these candidates, and we give them approximately to towards the beginning of May. We ask that they get those surveys back to us. Now, those who are in office, in an office, especially the legislators that are in the midst of the legislative session, we're going to be reviewing those votes, and we're going to be tabulating all those voting records so that at the end of the session, we're able to take a look at those voting records. And so just after the end of the legislative session, we do get together as a political action committee. We have representatives from all the congressional districts as well as an executive committee. And we determine race by race from the top all the way to the bottom what candidates we're going to support. And if there are certain candidates that are particularly deserving of support based on their actions in the legislature, perhaps they've been a bill sponsor, perhaps they've fought for us when others would not, et cetera, et cetera. So I hope that gives a little bit of insight to how we go about determining who we're going to support. And we also pay attention to the endorsements of those who are against life, against
right.
protecting life. Of course, you know, you have your National Organization for Women chapter, you have your Emily's List, you have all those kind of organizations, and we do pay attention to what they're doing, because if there's a particular race that is especially in a close contested area between, whether it may be a strong area that is particularly leaning towards one party, that can have an influence if there's a lot of support for a candidate that's very liberal. We might choose that conservative that's running against them to be a targeted race or what have you. So,
okay,
we do look at all those factors.
So there in a nutshell is how you is the factors you look at to decide whether you're going to endorse someone or not endorse someone. And
correct.
So. I'm saying that here's District 694, and here's a guy who's got a record in office, and a guy who has no record in office. He's a newbie, Jeff Messenger, let's say.
Uh-huh.
All you have to work with for Jeff Messenger is the form that you send out.
Well, there are certain instances where we have interviews with
okay.
candidates. We do encourage all of our congressional district coordinators to, as they are able, to make contact with candidates if they have, if there is a question. We look at their websites, we look at their positions, their any public statements that we can find. There's a lot of time spent on Google, et cetera, to try to find out positions of these candidates before we even get the surveys.
Sure.
And then sometimes we look at the survey and we compare the survey to what they say on their website. You know, you're not going to find inconsistencies there too often, but we do try to look for patterns of pro-life activism. Some candidates claim to be members of Missouri Right to Life on their websites when in fact they're not.
Right.
That kind of thing happens. I mean, there's all kinds of dynamics, all kinds of variables, but we do look at the as much as we can, we look at the candidates and try to speak with them. Since I live in Greene County, I was able to contact several of the candidates that are running for contested seats and primaries or what have you. So I was able to get a little bit of a feel for where they were on the issues. In the 130th, since that's kind of the topic of the night, what happened with Jeff Messenger was we had not yet determined endorsement when Jeff Messenger got a hold of me, and he called me and he said, I want to know more about Missouri Right to Life. I want to talk to you about my positions. I'd like to meet with you. Is that possible? And I said, sure. I want to make myself available, as do all of our representatives on the PAC board. We want to make ourselves available to candidates. Primarily, our number one responsibility is education, and make sure that they have the opportunity to learn about life issues, to learn about what we're doing in the legislature and what's been going on in that particular arena. So that's very important. That's crucial. And even if we never endorse that person, we want to be available to them for education.
Exactly.
So so Jeff Messenger sought me out. We got a little meet and greet and talked about some of the issues, and we went forward with the filing period ended. We had our legislative records compiled, and the PAC board met, and the PAC board determined that this particular election cycle, that no candidate that supported the final passage of the bill known as MOSIRA, which stands for Missouri Science and Innovation Reinvestment Act, would be eligible for endorsement by Missouri Right to Life PAC.
Because
I know we'll get into that. So
right.
But Thomas Long was not only supportive of the final passage of MOSIRA, he helped shepherd MOSIRA through the legislature. He was a crucial person, a very important key person in the promotion, the lobbying. He was the whip for this bill among pro-life freshmen, if you will. And he had been endorsed prior in the prior session, his freshman year. He had been endorsed by Missouri Right to Life PAC. He was one of three candidates endorsed. In a multiple candidate primary, and he won, and he was, of course, endorsed for the general election, and he was, by all indications, just the kind of guy we were looking for up there in the legislature. And I want to say this before I have a chance, or before I forget, because it's very important to your listeners to know, I think.
Sure.
Thomas Long is a decent man. I have no ill feelings or problem with Thomas as a person. He's done a lot of good things. Thomas has been involved in a lot of different things in the legislature that would be life affirming. The problem is MOSIRA and the way that it was promoted, and those people who he aligned himself with during this particular effort, as we'll get into, was so egregious that there had to be something done about Thomas's incumbency, and that's why we got involved.
Okay. Now, we've talked about how it is you go about endorsing a candidate, and that sounds all totally reasonable to me. On the other end of the thing, though, aside from coming down to a place like Springfield and saying, okay, we endorse this guy, we don't endorse this guy, there are candidates that you target for defeat.
Right. And it's probably more accurate to say there are candidates that we target for success.
Okay.
Because sometimes what happens is, as the case this year, there were a few races where there were multiple candidates, or more than two candidates in a primary.
Right.
This happened in particular with the 31st. I'm sorry, not the 31st. The 33rd senatorial district.
Mm-hmm.
Don Wells was he had a better record with Missouri Right to Life on our scored votes. And folks, when we say scored votes, we're not talking about 10, 12 votes. We're talking, you know, closer to 50 over a four-year period. We score a four-year, if they've been there that long, up to a four-year record.
But only votes that would weigh on the life issue.
Correct.
Right.
But
okay.
a lot of those votes a lot of those votes are committee votes if they're a committee member on a life issue.
Oh, sure.
And even procedural votes do go into the mix. There's a lot of things that are calculated into those records.
So any vote then, and my listeners here are pretty savvy on, we spend a lot of time on how the legislature works. So any vote that advances a pro-life or that stops a anti-pro-life bill gets scored right. Whether it's
I think that's a fair general statement.
Suspension of the rules or anything like that. If it advances that good bill, there's a good point.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
So we have a race in the 33rd where Senator Chuck Ferguson is vacating that seat.
Right.
And we have three sitting representatives that are into the mix there.
Right.
Well, Don Wells was the only candidate we endorsed based on two factors. He had a good voting record with us, and he voted against the cloning lobby on MOSIRA. Not only did he vote against them on final passage, but he voted for our amendment. I will say that Representative Cunningham was absent. He did not vote for MOSIRA on its final passage. That wasn't as bad as what happened with Representative Franz. Unfortunately, he did vote for final passage despite no pro-life protective language. Representative Cunningham ultimately won that race, and we're hoping that we'll be able to have a good relationship with him once the legislature begins again in January. So
overall, have you had a good relationship with Cunningham?
I think that he has not turned in a survey perhaps the last time or two. I'd have to check back with my records for that. I've got nothing that I know that is a problem with Representative Cunningham as far as his record goes.
But you scored his votes, and he seems to be all right.
Yes, he is listed as a pro-life candidate in our ratings. He's listed as a pro-life candidate, and that happened with a lot of people that we didn't endorse. Shane Scholar didn't get endorsed. Scott Roop got endorsed because of his votes on MOSIRA. A lot of MOSIRA made a difference in a lot of our endorsements.
Because it was a deal breaker. That one bill was a deal breaker, right?
It was.
Right. Okay.
There's probably some people out there listening. You know, Missouri Right to Life. I get it. They're pro-life, but I've heard that they make unreasonable demands. Et cetera, et cetera. I want to explain something very important to your listeners when it comes to watching what happens with Missouri Right to Life. And those who criticize our votes, the way we score our votes, because a lot of it has to do with budget items and appropriations.
Sure.
Several years ago, we were, of course, part of the effort for many years to defund Planned Parenthood in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Planned Parenthood, of course, is the largest abortion provider in America. They've operated several clinics in Missouri over the course of time. Now there's only one Planned Parenthood facility that we know of that is currently performing abortions, and that's in St. Louis, unless Columbia has started again. So there was this big fight over Planned Parenthood funding. Largely, it was pro-life Democrats and Republicans joining together against the leadership under Bob Griffin and Governor Holden and Governor Carnahan, et cetera. So our argument was, if any of this money is going towards Planned Parenthood, yes, they may do cancer screenings, yes, they may do STD testing, yes, they may do this and that, but they're also, a huge part of their business is the promotion and the performing of abortion.
Right.
Now, I'd like to say to those who are out there that may think that we go a little bit overboard on the cloning issue, if we don't oppose human cloning and embryonic stem cell research in Missouri and the funding thereof, then we owe Planned Parenthood a huge apology. Because of the consistent life ethic that we have to uphold, and we just ask that our legislature do the same.
Exactly. Now, see, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, and as I said, you know, you and I digress, but I'm going to tell you, and this is where we were with this is where I was with Todd Akin and some of my good friends. In fact, a campaign that I worked pretty hard on in Missouri 3. I disagree with the guy that I was working for. But I have all the respect in the world for someone who can make the argument you're making and say no exceptions to that rule. And that's that goes pretty much in line with what you're talking about. I mean, you've got to maintain the integrity of what you are talking about all the way down the line.
I will tell you there's a well-known political reporter that has since left Missouri, but before he left Missouri a few years ago, you'd probably know his name if I said it. But before he left Missouri, I said, okay, you've asked me a lot of questions over the years. I get to ask you one before you leave. And he said, anything, Dave. And I said, what do the press in Missouri think of Missouri Right to Life? And he says, they know you're fair. They know that you don't do it for a party. They know that you don't do it for to make somebody look good and turn the other way with a nod and a wink whenever they may kind of blow it, but you have to protect them because they're, you know, whatever party. So you guys don't do that. You say it like it is, and the chips fall, and you get scorned for it every once in a while, but everybody knows that you play fair.
Right.
There are certain legislators that like to throw in our face what happened a few years ago with the appropriations votes. We had issued ratings, and we had issued candidate scores, two different things. It's important that that distinction is made. Ratings and scores. And we haven't done scores since then because we really don't want anybody knowing how we score the legislators.
Right.
That's how we do, you know, for our own use. Well, there was a very, very pro-abortion senator named Joan Bray in the legislature.
Pro, I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. Pro what senator?
Pro-abortion.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Joan Bray, Bray, in the St.
Uh-huh.
Louis area. Well, what happened that particular year, because there was a huge number of appropriations votes, is that particular year, Joan Bray had a higher percentage of votes where her vote aligned with our scores because she was voting as a party person against the Republican legislative appropriations.
Right.
So she was voting party, and we were asking a vote for life. So those happened to coincide, her votes happened to coincide, so we rated her as pro-abortion or anti-life, however it was that year that we put it down, anti-life. But her score was higher than several Republicans. So what happened is several Republicans cried foul and said, you rated Joan Bray higher than you rated, you know, the people that you've known and voted pro-life. Well, no, we didn't. We rated her as anti-life. We may have rated you as mixed or whatever, but what happens is sometimes people, they have party on the brain so much that they want to try to say, you know, that Missouri Right to Life is not fair when it comes to our ratings or scores, et cetera, whereas the truth is, we're telling the public what they need to know as far as, because what we don't want to see happen is voters be looking at a commercial or a push card or anything like that, and this candidate says they're pro-life when the record that we have worked so hard to compile shows otherwise.
Right. Okay, so that happens. I mean, I'm familiar with at least. Let me ask this question first. Is there a race in Missouri where two people are running against one another and both of them have the quote unquote endorsement?
Yes, we do multiple endorsements.
Okay.
Many times.
All right. So it's entirely I was thinking wrongly there. So now let's just be perfectly clear about something here before we go on break and change the subject a little bit.
Sure.
You rate these people on the life only issues. What this person's voted on guns, what this person's voted on anything else doesn't matter.
Correct.
Okay. And I think that's important for the tact that I was taking here, and I respect that, and I appreciate it. In fact, that and I think the voters do too. That you can have an organization that takes an issue and spends as much time and as much energy and as much care in extracting all of the aspects of that issue and putting together a list of people who are good for that issue and a list of people who are bad for that issue, and then goes out and makes an endorsement. But this is what I want to the listeners to understand, because this is where I was going on Thursday. As important as this is, and Dave, I'm not playing you down. This is incredibly important.
Right.
It is no more important than what the NRA is doing and what Gretchen Logue over at Missouri Education Watchdog is doing and what the fair tax guys are doing. And it may legitimately be that for you, voter, this is the only issue of consideration. I hope it's not. But unless it is, then don't ever get caught in paying too much attention to just one issue. It's an important issue, and it's an issue that should weigh into your decision. But I just keep getting thrown back to the fact that if you are a one-issue voter, you would take John McCain over Rudy Giuliani. And as far as the conservative world goes, that's a big no-no.
That was a tough one for us, because John McCain was not our friend on some embryonic stem cell research or the McCain-Feingold
right.
anti-incumbent legislative effort.
Right, and it's, I mean, and
I should say the Incumbent Protection Act is what I called it.
Exactly. Okay. So give us an example of somebody. Now, I want the people to understand how much you mean that you are nonpartisan. Give us an example of somebody. Is there somebody in the coming race that's not a Republican that you're endorsing?
Well, in the top of the ballot, no. But
okay.
On many legislative, and that's not to say that it doesn't happen, because it has happened. But in the legislature, I'll give you another good example of something that happened. In the 68th district, there was a pro-abortion incumbent named Bert Atkins, who was defeated by a MRL-endorsed pro-life Democrat, Keith English.
Okay. Yeah.
And this happens, a lot. We had about 70% success rate in our PAC endorsees versus anti-life or targeted for defeat candidates.
Right.
So, this year was probably percentage-wise on that was probably not quite as good as some of other past years. But the difference is the ones that we won were big races that we needed to win.
Okay.
And some of the Senate races especially. And I know you probably have to take a break, so we can continue after that if you want.
Yeah, we can continue. And I was actually fishing for a plug for my friend Cynthia there, but that's
absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Oh, well, yeah. And we can get into that, because Cynthia Davis is absolutely a MRL endorsee, and we support her 100%. And looking forward to see what she can do.
That's all right. I just wanted to get that in there. We're gonna take a break. This is the Voice of Liberty. I'm Dave. You're on Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. We're with Dave Plemons tonight. We're talking Missouri Right to Life. We'll be back in a minute and a half.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
347-677-1835. 347-677-1835. I know there's someone out there that wants to get on here and chat with Dave Plemons, director or chairman of the PAC for Missouri Right to Life. Okay, Dave, thanks for hanging with us. We talked about a major issue for MRL. It was a make-or-break issue in this last primary cycle, and I suppose will be as well going into the general election cycle, and that was MOSIRA. Why don't you tell us exactly what MOSIRA is?
Well, Dave, and again, I want to appreciate or say how much I appreciate the fact that you've invited me to come on the show and talk about these issues. Just so we can, you know, make sure that everyone has a good knowledge of what's going
good.
On.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, MOSIRA, again, stands for the Missouri Science Innovation and Reinvestment Act. And it sets up a fund which is channeled through the state budget that's administered by what's called the Missouri Technology Corporation, or MTC, to provide state money and or tax incentives for new technology businesses, including those engaged in human life science, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other thing that MOSIRA does, it's think of it as a quasi-governmental board or, along with MCC, a program that what it does, it takes income tax money from startup businesses and biotech sector jobs, and it puts them back into this fund where they can put it in, you know, new businesses, new biotech programs, et cetera, et cetera. So we're talking about state tax dollars, especially at the start of this thing, to get it going.
Okay.
Right. So
strike one already for a concern.
Yeah, and a lot of constitutionalists don't think that we should be subsidizing one particular industry
exactly.
over another, and that's probably where you're going there.
Yeah.
So I have to back up with some history. Okay, in I believe it was 1998, the tobacco settlement happened,
right.
and started getting all this money that was going to come into the state for health, whatever. And the legislatures had to individually decide, and all the states had to decide what they're going to do with all this money. So in 2003, we were spearheading this particular language that sets up restrictions on this money that was going to come into the state and where it could go and where it could not go as it relates to human life science research. What ended up happening was the formation of the Life Science Research Trust Fund. It would take this money in, it would disperse it into whatever programs or health initiatives those kind of things that the legislature deemed fit. And, in fact, there's a Life Science Research Trust Fund board that takes care of all this. Well, so in 2003, we were already seeing the beginnings of the embryonic stem cell research and human cloning debate. So we knew that we had to take proactive measures to make sure that this money was not going to go to that research, which is unethical. So in 2003, we passed this language, commonly known as 196.1127. Now, that's part of the Missouri Revised Statute. It's in statute now. This particular language has never been ruled on as unconstitutional or challenged. The courts have never said anything about this particular language that invalidates it or restricts its scope. Okay, it is what it is, and it's still intact in statute. That's important for our discussion further. So 196.1127 basically says that no state funds can go to this prohibited human research. In the bill, we took care to properly define human life, human cloning, the definition of a child, definition of human life in statute, so that anything that comes down the road further than that would make sure it had the proper definitions in it, okay, to protect life.
Gotcha.
So abortion, unethical human research, human cloning were all prohibited from receiving state tax money through the Life Science Research Trust Fund. So, and I'm projecting myself into the thought patterns of our opponents when I say this. But so in the back rooms of the pro-cloning folks, they had to figure out a way that they were going to circumvent this language. Okay? Enter 2006 and Amendment 2, the Clone and Kill Initiative.
Right.
They spent $33 million to deceive the public into believing that they were actually prohibiting and banning human cloning when they were actually validating and reinforcing a false definition of human cloning in the Missouri Constitution, not just in statute, but in the Missouri Constitution.
I remember that, yes.
Okay, so we lost that battle 51-49%. Another week or so, we think we would have had them, but we didn't. We lost. So that was phase one of the plans to overcome this pro-life language in the Life Science Research Trust Fund. But what they did not do in that constitutional amendment is put a funding mechanism in, because they told taxpayers we'll never take tax money to use for human cloning. We'll never use state funds to do this research. Well, legally, if you read the ballot language and if you read the actual constitutional amendment, it sets up a system whereby once you give money, you can't take it away. And you can't withhold or withdraw or discourage any money going to that embryonic stem cell research or human cloning. They called it SCNT, somatic cell nuclear transfer, which is the legal the scientific definition of human cloning. You couldn't discourage or take that money away if you gave it to anything that was ethical or legitimate. So they had the language in place, but not the funding mechanism, not the way to drive. They had the bank, but not the person driving the deposit there. Okay?
Right.
So then for the next couple of years, we start fighting this battle over appropriations and whether or not the state legislature is going to restrict state funds going to life science research. And there was a time where we didn't know legally what was happening with what we could do and what the legislature could do and could not do. So we opposed all of the Human Life Science Research Trust for a couple of years because we didn't know, and the courts hadn't ruled, on where the money would go. We were afraid that it was going to be used for unethical research if there wasn't particular language put on there. So then there was a court decision. And the court decision is 2009, January 2009, Missouri Roundtable versus Steelman. Okay, and what this did, the court said that despite the language of Amendment 2 and the language of Section 196.1127, the legislature has the power of appropriation of state funds. It's their role. The court did not find Section 196.1127 unconstitutional, and based on their decision, we've promoted the MRL, we've promoted the inclusion of that language, that protective language, in every economic development and appropriation bill that provides for funding of human life science research ever since.
Okay.
So now this ruling said that the legislature can, in fact, prohibit money from going where it does not want it to go. So then they had to think of, we got to think of a program to put it in and keep that language off of it. That's where MOSIRA came in. So the last few years they've been promoting MOSIRA. And MOSIRA, again, is this program where they would, you know, use startup businesses and different things. And they say, okay, this is an important part of it, Dave. They say, we're not going to do embryonic stem cell research, and we're not going to do human cloning. So just let us pass this bill. Everything's going to be good. You can trust us. We'll have reporting requirements. Blah 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 blah. All these different things. But we're not going to need your language. We're not going to need protective language because we're not going to do that research. We promise.
Right.
That's what the lobbyists are saying. Now, every time that happens, when a lobbyist says, trust me, you know you have to kind of perk your ears up and say, where's the catch? Well, here's the catch. The trade organization for biotech in Missouri, it's called MoBio. You can look them up on the internet, M-O-B-I-O. MoBio is the clearinghouse for lobbying for biotech in Missouri. And they cover a wide range. Agriculture, life science research, you know, a lot of things that have to do with those kind of, anything to do with biotechnology. Well, they said that the 196.1127 language was, quote, a poison pill. Okay? So they said this multiple times. Why would they say that, Dave? If they said they weren't going to do it, if they weren't going to do the unethical research, trust but verify, et cetera, why would they call it a poison pill, and then everybody in the legislature pretty much know that they were planning, if we got our language passed, they were planning to completely withdraw their program. They were going to kill MOSIRA if our language got put on there. So who's afraid of what?
Right.
That's where we get into all this with Thomas Long. So Thomas Long began, for some reason, after he got elected, started...
Well, let's just be blunt, Dave. What was the reason?
Well, we don't know why he got into the biotech thing. The district he represented and represents now until January, we have no biotech. We're not doing, you know, any kind of research like that in this district. Why he got so cozy on that issue, I have no clue, and no one
really
seems to know.
How?
That's number one.
Didn't he get some money from these people?
Well, yeah, and let's go there.
Okay,
so,
that's what I meant by let's be blunt. Why
sure,
did he?
Yeah, yeah. So you have the special session in September. There were two bills under consideration that Governor Nixon wanted done. One is MOSIRA. The other was the China Hub bill, which I'm sure your listeners are aware of.
Right.
MOSIRA passed after the defeat of our amendment. Our amendment would have added the protective language on it, and it was defeated by 6 or 8 votes. And then MOSIRA passed after that. Okay, on the very day, the day the final passage occurred was September 23rd, Friday, September 23rd. 2 days before that, one of the pro-cloning PACs in Missouri, there's two of them, Supporters of Health Research and Treatments in St. Louis and the Life Science Research, or I'm sorry, the Life Sciences Fund of the Greater Kansas City Chamber of Commerce was the other one. Two days before the vote, a check was written, according to the Missouri Ethics Commission, for $2,500 to Friends of Thomas Long 2 days before the vote. 3 days after the vote, another $2,500 was written for Friends of Thomas Long, and that was dated the 26th. Okay?
Okay.
One was dated the 21st, one was dated the 26th. The vote occurred on the 23rd, right in the middle.
So I didn't want to interrupt you.
$5,000.
Yes.
Yeah. He gets $5,000 from the pro-cloning PACs, and he did not return them, and they were reported on his January report.
Right. And
they,
so
they came from the same. They came from the very same post office box in Jefferson City, because a lot of times they run parallel. They run parallel contributions to candidates. So one PAC will do it, and then the other PAC will do the same amount to the same candidate. Largely, sometimes even on the same day.
Okay, and I
they work in concert with each other.
I didn't want to sidetrack us on that, but so let's go back to where we left off before I interrupted you with why he did what he's getting ready to do.
Yeah. So, I don't know if it was a down payment and a payoff or a vote. I don't know that if it was just something that they thought that they needed to influence his campaign, because I have no way. I don't think there's any way to know that they would think he would have an opponent that early. That was several months before there was any campaign committee filed. So how they would know he would have an opponent in the primaries, I don't see that.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know why they gave him the large contributions, but I know that he was a big friend of them. He's mentioned on their website as a key supporter, and he gave a great speech on the House floor. He may have even given it more than once about the wonderful things that his family has gone through with adopting kids from a pregnancy resource outreach in Kansas City, which are all wonderful things. The things he's done for the foster program, which are wonderful things. He was listed as pro-life in our newsletter, in the election newsletter, but with an asterisk, which meant he voted for Mosira.
Right.
So he was never rated as pro-abortion. He was never rated as anti-life.
Right.
That's important, because he has said that we've called him pro-choice, and we haven't.
Right.
So
for you folks listening to us around the state of Missouri, all of this has gone on in the Springfield News Leader down here in the Southwest and in the local area. So this is really a bigger deal than it appears to somebody, say, in St. Charles.
Sure.
Go ahead.
And, well, and I want your listeners in St. Charles to know that I'm not here to push MRL, but I will say Missouri Right to Life is the only organization in Missouri that is dedicated solely to pro-life issues, that surveys candidates, rates candidates, endorses candidates, opposes candidates, and are membership grassroots-based and have daily presence in the Capitol. So if you can't trust Missouri Right to Life, there is nobody in the state that is more well-informed on pro-life issues than we are, and no one that is putting more resources and time into making sure that we're giving voters all the best information that they can possibly get when making these decisions on who they're going to vote for.
Okay. And that, folks, in a nutshell, is the crux of the thing that I led off with on Thursday night. I want to say one more time, while Dave's here, that I was not bashing Missouri Right to Life. I am not now bashing Representative Thomas Long. My point was that these one-issue groups, Missouri Right to Life, the NRA, the Fair Tax groups, are extremely important to you as a voter. You get up in the morning, you drink your coffee, you go to work at the dry cleaner, you work 12 hours, you come home, you're exhausted, you watch a couple innings of the baseball game, you eat some supper, you collapse, and you do the same thing the next day. And there are these people like Dave Plemons out there who are scoring these votes, thousands of them, for you, and they are a valuable resource, and all I wanted to do was use this this brouhaha going on down here where you've got a guy claiming that he was beat simply because of his stand on right to life, which we'll never know if that was the case or not.
28 votes.
28 votes. Is the recount done, Dave?
I asked a reporter, and I still haven't heard anything if the Long campaign has officially sought that, or if it's ongoing, or I simply don't know. Now, I will say this. Thomas Long was the only Republican statewide running for basically his own seat that was an incumbent that was defeated in the state of Missouri.
That's right.
But
sadly for us here at Missouri Grassroots Corners.
But there's another Republican taking his place, just so you know.
Right.
But unless the Libertarian prevails in that general election, so the and on the Democrat side, in, just as I mentioned before, there was a pro-abortion incumbent knocked off for his own seat by a Missouri Right to Life Democrat candidate, Keith English. So we do work both sides of the aisle, and a lot of you may not realize that about half or so of the Democratic caucus, at least a third, I'd say, of the Democratic caucus in the House of Representatives of Missouri are pro-life Democrats. We're very blessed to have a strong contingent of pro-life Democrats in the Missouri legislature that largely will join us on these issues. Many of them are from rural districts. Many of them are Roman Catholic. There's a lot of things that go into, a lot of them probably couldn't win if they didn't run as a Democrat.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So we are bipartisan, but we do support every once in a while. There's going to be a third party, like a Constitution Party person, like Cynthia Davis, running for lieutenant governor.
Sure. Okay, and so there it is. That clears up a little of what went on Thursday night and what went on tonight. There's kind of a balance here, and I want to take this thing right back before we go to our next break, and then come back with Dave for just a couple more minutes. I want to wrap this segment up with my saying one more time that this stuff that Dave and groups like him do are extremely important to you, but that you need to be very careful not to become, in my mind, if you are really a constitutionalist, a one-issue voter. We bash Todd Akin, great right-to-lifer what Dave already mentioned earlier, NDAA, Patriot Act. You've got to weigh it all. You've got to weigh it all and to know where you're at. And one more thing, folks, because you've heard me say this 1,000 times, and this is a perfect opportunity for me to say this again. At Missouri Grassroots Coalition, where hundreds and hundreds, literally hundreds and hundreds of patriot groups come together, to exchange ideas, to communicate, to put our voice together. We deal with fair tax. We deal with limited government. We deal with personal responsibility, and we intentionally stay away from things like life, marriage, and I'm not telling you individually that those things should not be important to you. I am saying that at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we don't take a stand on that because those are the things that drive our groups apart. And we are all about bringing our groups together around the three core issues that should matter to someone that cares about the Constitution. Now, quite frankly, that having been said, if you are for limited government, if you are for fiscal restraint, then a lot of the things that Dave is into, like not funding Planned Parenthood, for example, not funding any kind of abortion, not pushing birth control down on the Catholic hospital, all of those things are in your ballywhack. But we don't get into the things at Missouri Grassroots Coalition that drive wedges between groups of equally patriotic Americans. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to let Dave actually push his group for us, tell us how we can get in touch with him and what he would like us to do to further his cause. I'm Dave, with Dave Plemons from Missouri Right to Life. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio, and we'll be back in about 47 seconds.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Okay, we have 11 minutes left. I'm sitting here looking at the number of people listening to this show tonight, and I cannot believe that someone doesn't have a question or an observation for Dave Flemons, chairman of the PAC at Missouri Right to Life. That's 347-677-1835. Wednesday night, Lisa Payne Nager, the culture vigilante, will have a quick talk with Lieutenant Governor Kinder, who is going to bring us an update on his legal fight with the Secretary of State on the wording for that Proposition 3, for that Prop E issue, the insurance exchanges. So we're looking forward to hearing from the Lieutenant Governor on how that is going. Thursday night, I'll be talking with Carl Bearden for the entire period. Carl is quite knowledgeable on this thing where, you know, where St. Louis doesn't have control of their own police department. There's a Prop E. No, there's a, I forget what number it is, but anyway, that's on your ballot in November. And strangely, everybody in the state of Missouri, and Carl's going to go into this for us, because I asked him about it the other night, and he and I discussed it, and I'm not sure I still understand why Dave and I down here in Republican Springfield ought to be voting on whether the St. Louis city gets control of their own darn police department. yeah. But we do. Okay, Dave, tell us a little bit about Missouri Right to Life. Where do we go to find Missouri Right to Life? What do people here that are listening do to get involved? I know that a lot of people who aren't involved really, really care about this issue. It is a hot-button issue for a lot of people, and especially in this election, especially with Obamacare coming at us like a freight train. I know this is very, very important. So tell people how to find you and how to get involved.
Well, before I do that, Dave, I think it's really important that I throw this out.
Okay,
and that
sure.
is at the end of the month, I believe maybe it's the 27th. I'd have to check for sure my date on that.
Okay.
But just for a very, very short period of time, Missourians only have a few days left if they are so inclined. And I know tax credits are kind of a, you know, that's a touchy subject for constitutionalists, but I'd like to say it anyway. If you're gonna support anybody in the next week or so, send a tax deductible gift to your pregnancy resource center so they can take advantage of the tax credits that are still available to them until the end of this month. If you want to help a good cause out for the cause of life, help out your pregnancy resource centers this month. Do it now, or you won't be able to claim any kind of help on your taxes, and it'll be double for them. So. Having said that, MissouriLife.org, the whole word Missouri spelled out, MissouriLife.org, that's our web presence.
Okay.
You can join us on Facebook, and you can join our Facebook page. You can log on to Missouri Right to Life Political Action Committee website from there. You can join, like Missouri Right to Life PAC from there. There are ways that you can donate. There's ways that you can get information on membership. You can read all of our memos to the legislature, which is something that hardly any group does. We post all the letters that we give to our legislators, we post on our website. So if you want to read our newsletters, you can read them there for free. If you want to see what we send to the legislators as far as memos on legislation, you can see it there for free. We have nothing to hide, full disclosure, because you need to be informed. We want to give it to you. And we do, of course, appreciate your support. We appreciate your prayers. It's very important that that we uphold each other in prayer and do the things that we need to do with the help of God. So we do appreciate everyone that's listening, and if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to let us know. And if you'd like to contact me, you can reach me at Dave, D-A-V-E, dot Plemons, that's P like in Paul, L-E-M-M-O-N-S, at sbcglobal.net. Dave.Plemons at sbcglobal.net. And I'd be glad to have a dialogue with you about any questions that you have.
Great. Now, listen, folks, this is not somebody like me here that you're listening to. I don't do anything really except sit around and talk all day long. That's what I do. These are people who really get out there, really, really spend resources, really spend time making a big difference. And so they need money, they need support, and if you are inclined in that direction, there is no more close to the combat zone outfit you can get behind than somebody like Missouri Right to Life. Dave, thanks for coming. I sure appreciate this. It's been great, and we'll talk to you again soon here on this show, I hope.
Great. I appreciate the opportunity, Dave, and we'll make sure and link up the Missouri Grassroots Radio recording of this so that those people that log on to our website can access that as well.
For sure, and the podcast will also be available at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. If you want to share it with your friends out there via email, you can go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and find the link for that. And Dave, one more thing before you go. Go Indians.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good night, Dave.
Thanks for
coming. Okay, I've got a plug for Lisa on Wednesday. I've got a plug for me. I've got about 3 minutes left. I want to get a plug for one more thing here before I go. Secret Santa. We got $62 now in Secret Santa, folks. And it doesn't seem like it, but Christmas is close. Last year, we helped two families with $300, every penny, every dime of Secret Santa goes to that end cause. There's no overhead. Missouri Grassroots Coalition gets nothing. Missouri Grassroots Coalition spends nothing on operations. Every dime goes to a needy family. We're looking to double last year's, I said $300, last year's $250. We're looking for a goal this year of $500 that we could use to help four or five families at Christmas time. These will be needy families. We won't ask their politics. We won't ask them to be some moral or ethical deservee. We will pick them at random, and we will help them out at Christmas. That's what Secret Santa is all about. That's what being a conservative is all about. That's what, brothers and sisters, being an American is all about. I'm Dave. You've been listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio, The Hour of Truth, on Monday night, August the 20th. We'll be back tomorrow. I intend tomorrow to probably carry on now that we've had the pro and we've had the con on this with a little bit more of this. Then we're going to get a little bit more in-depth into the Todd Akin thing. You've got my bet that by the time we talk tomorrow, we will be talking about who is in fact going to be our candidate besides Todd Akin for the U.S. Senate to run against Claire McCaskill. So there we go. That's it for tonight. I appreciate every listener out there. I appreciate every guest we have. I appreciate Dave Plemons. I appreciate what he and his group do. And I appreciate your group, whether or not I agree with you, as I don't agree with Dave on everything. I appreciate your group and what you do to make a difference in the Missouri political scene. It is ultimately important, and it is all we've got left here is to work this thing from the ground up, trickle upward with this change. Tomorrow night.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition.
a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.